but it was very, very extreme. And, you know, you were so upset, like you didn't want me to touch you. You were crying. You were, you know, get away from me and saying all kinds of things that were, you know, making me think like, what have I just done? Like, you know, is, you know, maybe this was too much this time and this is going to be the end of it. Cause I think, yeah, the way you were acting, I was really worried about that.
Welcome to the Dom Sub Living Podcast, where you'll learn how to break free from the vanilla rut, unlock your true potential as a dominant or submissive, and finally make BDSM a lifestyle. I'm your kinky guide, Alessandra. Today, I have a very special guest. Actually, this is my first ever guest on this podcast, and it is my dominant, Jay. If you're a student of our Dom Sub training course or you've been to our virtual events like our summit, you probably already know who he is and may have even talked to him in our community or even during a private mentoring session. But just to give you some background, Jay and I have been married for over 20 years, and we have been in a Dom Sub relationship for over a decade. We have two kids together, two boys, and for work, he is a foreman for a construction company. And before he comes on and answers all of my questions and all of your questions, we have a free quick start guide on how to be a good dom. It has a bunch of tips and tricks, and you can grab it at domsubliving.com/dom. My dom actually helped me put that together. So again, you can grab your quick start guide for how to be a good dom at domsubliving.com/dom. Okay, without further ado, help me welcome to the show my dominant Jay. Welcome to the show, Daddy.
Well, thank you. And I'm really happy that I finally get to be on this show. I've been working on this with you for a while, and I've really been looking forward to this episode.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Jay, my daddy, he actually is the one who does all the tech for the podcast. So I have it made. All I have to do is just talk and hit record and then press stop. And then he does all the rest. So he is amazing. And I couldn't do the show without him. So thank you, Daddy.
No, you're welcome.
So why don't you start off by giving us an overview of your journey as a dom and how you got started with the BDSM lifestyle?
Well, you know, like pretty much I've known my whole life that I really like being in control. I don't really like being told what to do. It's kind of been a bumpy road through my whole life with that. And so, of course, in our relationship and our marriage, you know, when we'd have arguments or tough times, you know, I always really kind of had that feeling like I was being told what to do, or I didn't have complete say in the situation, and that used to just bug me like crazy. So, you know, when we started coming across BDSM material and like learning more about it, I thought, here we go. This is what I need. And I've always wanted more control. I've wanted to, you know, have the ultimate say in situations. You know, I wanted to be able to honestly tell you when you were wrong and that you had to just deal with it.
What do you mean? I'm never wrong.
Sometimes you're not, but I still want to tell you you are, and that's just the way it goes. So I did think this lifestyle was for me, and sure enough, as we started trying it out and learning about it, that proved to be the case.
Awesome. So what were some of the mindset hurdles you had to overcome on your journey as a dom?
Well, you know, like I said, I realized that this was for me and this is something I wanted, but it doesn't mean that everything came completely smoothly without any like second guessing, you know? So one of the things I know was that I thought was, is this abuse? Am I being abusive? Am I being mean? Like, is this how it's supposed to be? Like, you know, that was one of them. And then I also suffer with ADHD, so being organized, remembering things, staying motivated is all issues that I deal with. So I kind of had that, you know, doubt of like, can I really do this? Like a dominant needs to be in control and needs to be organized and needs to have it all together, you know, and I really had doubts of whether I was going to be able to pull that off with some of the things that I was struggling with. And a big one really was whether Alessandra really wanted to be treated this way. Mm-hmm. You know, there would be a lot of back talking, you know, crying after and during scenes, and sometimes, you know, bratty behavior, not wanting to respond to me. And so I would have to get mean and I'd have to get firm. And, you know, some of her reactions kind of made me sometimes second guess, like, wow, is this really a good idea?
Were you affected as a man by like society telling you to always be respectful towards women, to like never like hit a woman? Did that have any like effect on you too, do you think?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, even if I had the desire to, you know, before we came into this, you know, something was always that like block, like, no, that's not okay. You can't go there. And so that did end up being kind of in the back of my mind a lot.
Mm-hmm. Can you maybe tell us about a time when like you were second guessing yourself and wondering like, is this something you should be doing or something that I want to do, and that whether or not this is okay?
Yeah, I actually have a good one. It was kind of a little ways in after we were starting out and we kind of learned some techniques and scenes and things like that. And there was a really, really hard scene in particular that was really intense. And afterwards, I could tell, like, you, when I was trying to give you aftercare, like, you were genuinely upset. Like, it wasn't just, you know, coming down from the endorphins or whatever. Maybe it was, but it was very, very extreme. And, you know, you were so upset, like, you didn't want me to touch you. You were crying. You were, you know, get away from me, and saying all kinds of things that were, you know, making me think, like, what have I just done? Like, you know, is, you know, maybe this was too much this time and this is going to be the end of it. Cause I think, yeah, the way you were acting, I was really worried about that.
But I didn't safe word though, right?
No, you didn't safe word. And that was a big, big thing, is learning to trust you that you would safe word if it got to be too intense. And it got to the point where I start reminding you, you know, of your safe words and making sure you knew about them. That kind of helped ease my mind a little bit. But in this situation, you know, it took some talking afterwards. You know, we communicated about it once the endorphins calmed down and things were a little more mellow. And, you know, you assured me that, you know, everything's okay and that, you know, this is what you want and that the scene was a really, really good one. It was just really intense, and that's how it's going to be sometimes. But, you know, ultimately this is what you want. And like you said, you didn't say for it. So I just had to trust.
Mm-hmm. And well, thank you for sharing that story. And it kind of reminds me of something we tell our students where, you know, I like it even when I don't like it, or I want it even when I don't want it. And that's kind of the consensual non-consent. So I remember that incident, and that's when we started like really, you know, crossing that threshold into more and more hardcore scenes and started exploring consensual non-consent. So I really appreciate you sharing that story. And I'm sure, you know, on your end, it probably was more difficult. You know, I was just, like you said, coming down, but it was a really, really hard scene, and I was feeling a lot of emotions that I hadn't mm-hmm. felt before. So, yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that.
Well, one thing, too, I forgot to add that I kind of learned from that situation was, even though you didn't want to be touched, you were telling me to get away from you, I still stuck around and I was there. I just gave you some space. So that way, you know, I remember afterwards you said that really helped, because then you didn't feel like you were being abandoned and just left in that state.
Yeah, yeah. And we've had, you know, obviously other hard scenes after that. And you've been, you know, awesome in that regard. You know, a lot of times, like, my body doesn't have the context to know, okay, this was consensual and, you know, we had a contract and things like that. My body is just reacting to the situation. And so, yeah, sometimes it's almost so real. Like, I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be comforted by the person who caused all this, you know, pain. So, but I do appreciate that you do, you know, stay by me, you know, with the arm's reach. So that way, when I am slowly starting to want to be touched again, when I'm slowly wanting to talk again, that you're right there. Like, you haven't left the room, you haven't left the area. And so that's something I've always really appreciated. So thank you.
You're welcome. I can tell that it's definitely helped.
Mm-hmm. So can you share some of your best tips for mastering your mindset as a dominant?
Well, mindset is really a big deal. It helps you get through some of the unknowns, you know, developing that mindset. And I found that the main thing is consistency and practice, you know, being consistent, practicing your mindset, and whether it takes, you know, mantras or whatever it is, that will bring confidence in your role. And it'll help you to, you know, see where you need to improve. And then, you know, you can make those adjustments. So, and that is where it comes into the practice. You're not always going to get it. You're going to have mistakes. You're going to have times where the mindset wasn't quite where it needed to be. And so, you know, you want to just learn from that and, you know, move on a little differently and keep being consistent. Don't just give up and say, wow, that went horrible, and then never try it again. Like, that doesn't help. So that's one thing. And then another thing that's really helped me is meditation. And the reason I think it's helped is it kind of trains your mind to stay present and clear-headed when you're having, you know, all kinds of outside stimulus happening. Like, something can be really intense and you can be really, really into it and things come up. And so instead of just getting upset or, you know, losing your head, the meditation really helps to calm that.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed for me too, as a submissive, meditation is really helpful to stay in the moment and not get so caught up, especially during a scene when, you know, my only job is to obey you, basically, you know, so being mindful and just listening to you, being attentive, following directions, you know, really meditation allows me to be more mindful so that I'm not in my head during a scene and worrying, you know, am I doing it right? Do I look okay? Should I be doing something else? So meditation has really helped me too. So I'm glad you brought that out.
Awesome. Glad it's helped you as much as it's helped me.
What would you say is like the key action step every dom can take to improve in their role?
Well, I can only speak for what's helped me. And what really has helped me is picking one thing at a time and really diving into that one thing. You know, do the research online, talk to other DOMs, whatever you may need to. And that enables you to really nail that one thing before you move on to other things. You know, you're still doing a lot of things all at the same time, but there's one particular skill at a time that I was trying to like really perfect and work on. And I think that helps not getting overwhelmed and to keep you on track and improving.
Awesome. What skill would that be, Daddy?
Well, I've got a few that I've pretty much got down by now, but one of the main ones was consistent discipline. You know, I think sometimes I would let you get away with things and I wouldn't catch that things were happening. And so it really took me a while to be able to like spot every little area and be consistent with the discipline so I could change those behaviors.
Yeah, I can see that. And that's something I hear from a lot of subs too, that they wish their dom was more consistent, especially in the area of punishments. Like, I have yet to hear from a sub who says they get punished too much, that their dom is, you know, too controlling in their lives. You know, obviously there's abusers out there, but, you know, we're talking about consensual relationships. And so, yeah, being more consistent is like a really big key. And so I guess I appreciate that you are more consistent now in disciplining me, but I'm I'm still a brat, so I'll keep you on your toes.
It still takes a lot of work, and I'm not going to say I don't drop the ball occasionally, but usually what'll happen is I'll realize it really quick, because once you realize you've gotten away with one thing, you'll try to get away with more things.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure you don't.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Daddy. So now I'd like to do some rapid fire questions that we got on social media. So for those of you listening, if you're not following me on social media already, be sure to follow me. I'm Dom's Obliving on all of those. So from time to time, we ask for your input and ask for questions like for these episodes. So be sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. All of them were Dom Subliving. But okay, so here are some of the questions that we got. So, Daddy, how do you keep scenes interesting while being in a long-term dynamic?
So, one of the things I've done is keeping a running list of notes about scenes we've had. So I can go back and look at that and realize, no, I just did that last week. Or, you know, we had part of that in there, you know, this time. So that helps me to kind of keep it original, because sometimes you'll get in a little bit of a rut doing the same things, and that can make things kind of get stale. And one of the fun things is feeding little tidbits of information throughout the day about what's going to happen. And some things I might actually do, and some things I may do that I never even mentioned. So it makes that unknown stay there, that you don't really know what's coming. So, and then it's on my end, like I said, using that list. Also making a list of potential things I'd like to do. And that helps to not keep it, or helps to keep it original and not get mundane, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, if you have this whole list of like a bunch of things too, you can also mix and match. So, you know, it doesn't become like this same thing over and over. Like you may do, you know, intricate rope bondage and a flogger one scene, and then you can mix it up next time and do a flogger and then with handcuffs. So it's like, you know, I know you have your system, and, you know, I don't know half the stuff that goes on in your mind behind the scenes. You have a very devious mind, but that's just something that people can do too, is like, if you only have like, you know, say like five go-to things you have in your arsenal, like mix and match them, rotate them. But yeah, I like that idea of a list too. I think it'll help our listeners.
Yeah, too. And then when things come up that you might want to do, you know, definitely jot those down. Like I said, you have two running lists. So a lot of times during a scene, like you'll get an idea, and instead of trying to work that in, because sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, but you don't want to look unprepared. So usually just keep a mental note of like, maybe next time I'll try that. And then you can get it all lined out and prepared, so you're ready for it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. So our next question we got was, do you enjoy giving punishments to Alessandra? And what is your favorite behavior modification? You don't enjoy giving me punishments, do you?
I guess I could say I do, actually. Like, giving you punishments. And it may not be for the reason you think. Yeah, I mean, yes, it's fun sometimes to be able to punish you and be able to punish you in any way that I want to, within our limits, of course. But it's also, in a way, kind of therapeutic, because there'll be some frustration built up there, and I can take out that frustration on you during that punishment. But the main thing I think that I really like about giving punishments is because I like seeing the positive changes that come from it. I see that, you know, there's a reason for punishments beyond the pleasure that may come from it. It's really about the behavior modification, you know, that comes from the punishments. And that's really enjoyable to see and help seeing you grow and our relationship grow. So for the second half of that, my favorite behavior modification method, I suppose, is generally a hard spanking. That's my threat. If this doesn't stop, you know, a hard spanking is coming your way. And that seems to work because, and if it's not working, then I throw in, you know, those hard spankings where you're crying after the first hit. And that usually then will work to snap her out of it. But sometimes, no, sometimes the spanking comes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I am a huge masochist, but also, like, when he says a hard spanking, I know exactly what he means. And so, yes, I like pain. Yes, I love spankings, but I know the difference between his hard spanking. So, yes, those are the ones I really, really want to avoid. So I do get bratty sometimes, but when I know he's serious and he makes that, you know, threat of the hard spanking, I know that's my time to shut my mouth.
Exactly.
Okay, next question. Do you experience dom drop after scenes and how do you handle it? So just for everyone who's listening who maybe doesn't know what dom drop is, dom drop is a lot like sub drop. So when you're doing this intense scene and then afterwards, like all your endorphins drop, your, you know, adrenaline drops, and you're kind of just left with the after effects of it. And so on the outside, this can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. A lot of times this looks like depression, even sadness. And it can last for a few minutes, a few hours, or even a few days. And so submissives can get it. Not all submissives can get it. And doms can get it too, but not all doms get it. So that question was, do you experience dom drop after scenes? And if so, how do you handle it?
Well, you know, I do from time to time. Not as much anymore because, you know, we've kind of learned how to work it out and deal with it. And I've learned to, you know, identify what's going on. You know, it, you know, a lot of times, you know, I wasn't quite sure, like, why after a scene, like, I wasn't happy about it. Like, at first I would be, but then, like, you know, hours later or the next day, I would start, like, feeling like second guessing myself, and which would lead to me, you know, not feeling quite right. Sometimes I'd be mean. Sometimes I would, you know, be irritable, and like, you'd be like, daddy, what's going on? Why, you know, and I would be like, I don't know. Yeah. So it was a little hard to figure out, but now we know what it is. And, you know, what really helps is a little reassurance from Alessandra, you know, that she's okay and that she enjoys what we're doing and that, you know, it was a good time. And, you know, it's little things like that, you know, doms need encouragement too, even from their subs. And that's something I think sometimes that gets, you know, left out, is that, you know, the doms need to know they did a good job every once in a while, you know. So that really helped. I mean, like I said, it's gotten better. I'm able to nip it in the bud more often if it happens, and it's starting to happen less. Like you said, some doms don't even experience it. Some experience it in the beginning, and then after a while with more confidence, it kind of goes away.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's like a correlation between the intensity of a scene and the intensity of the dom drop?
For me, I think yes, because even in the beginning, I struggled with, is this a good idea? Am I doing the right thing? So sometimes, yes, it would come back and that would be it. Like, did I push too far? You know, I don't know. And so that's where, you know, our good communication really is key to get out of that.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen that. I think, you know, it's, you know, happens less and less. I can't even remember the last time I've, you know, seen that you've had dom drop. You know, I do try to reassure you. And I think one thing that's helped that you do is usually after a scene, like the next day, you'll have me journal about it. And, you know, what did I like? What would I like to have maybe seen improved? And, you know, I'll write in my submissive journal and then you can read, you know, all those, you know, good things. So, you know, like, yes, this is something I really liked. This is something I really enjoyed. Yes, I want to do it again. And so I think that, you know, has helped you too over the years with, you know, dealing with that.
Yeah, definitely. I know I didn't mention that specifically, but that's part of what goes into that good communication. I highly recommend that subs keep a journal that their dominant can read, even if they do, you know, need to have something more private if their dom allows that. But it's really good for their dynamic to have that open communication.
Mm-hmm. So our last question is, this person says, I'm interested in my husband taking on a dom role. He wants to learn, where do we start?
Well, a great place to start is to take our dom sub training course. Mm-hmm. So many have started from absolute ground zero and learned a lot, everything they need to know, and they're enjoying, you know, an awesome DS lifestyle now. So that would be step one, look into that. And if you want a little, you know, idea of some of the things we have to offer, there's lots of freebies to check out too, to kind of show you like what we have. So definitely the dom sub training course. And one thing too, when you join that training course, it opens up, you know, a whole community of other doms and subs that you can talk to. That's part of it. So having that little world to grow and explore and ask questions that everybody else has had also, and some that are in different stages of their journey, is really, really helpful.
Mm-hmm. And if someone's not ready to make the commitment yet for the dom sub training course, like, what's a good baby step that they can take in their life now to maybe, you know, get this husband kind of more on the journey of, you know, in embracing this lifestyle?
Well, I'd say talk about it. Bring it up as a couple and have a serious talk. You know, let him know this is what you're interested in, what you want to try out. How does he feel about that? Is there anything that he would like to be able to do in the relationship? I think sometimes that would really help when someone's trying to get their partner to take on that more dom role is, you know, isn't there something you wish you could do? And, you know, we can make that happen with this sort of lifestyle. So I'd say, you know, start with communication and maybe writing down a pro and con list, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times I see, like, in these situations, like, you know, where it's a husband and a wife and, you know, the wife wants to be the submissive, that the wife will kind of have this frenzy, this sub-frenzy, where she kind of almost takes over as a dom and says, I want to do this, I want to do X, Y, and Z, you know, so every day we need to be doing this. And that can overwhelm a person. So, yeah, definitely, like Jay said, start with communication and, you know, putting it out there for them. Like, you know, what would you want out of this relationship? You know, make it about them and what's in it for them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a win-win relationship. So, yeah, communicating those things, I think, is a really great start.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a lot of fun having you on the show, Daddy. I really hope I get to have you on here more. I think this would be a lot of fun for our listeners, too. But I know you're a busy man with a lot of responsibilities and things to do. So we won't keep you longer.
Well, it was really awesome to be on the show, like I said, and I look forward to being on here more too. I think this is a really good platform for our followers, so yeah, I want to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to learn more from you, where can they find you?
Well, I have a lot of Q&As that I've done over our time with the Dom Sub training course, so when you're in that course, you have access to all those Q&A videos. I mean, shoot, there's got to be, you know, I don't even know what the number is. There's a bunch, more than I can count in there. So there's a lot. And then you get the community too, where you can communicate directly with me through direct message and things like that. So definitely that's the best place to find me.
Mm-hmm. I know. We've really appreciated having you in the community too. So you're really popular in there.
Nice to hear.
And for everyone listening, remember we have that free quick start guide on how to be a good dom. It has a bunch of tips and tricks, and you can grab it at domsubliving.com/dom. My Dom helped me put that together. So again, you can grab your quick start guide for how to be a good Dom at domsubliving.com/Dom. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for joining me and being a part of the Dom Subliving community. And thank you to my daddy for being on the show today too. You can check out all of the details and links for this episode in the show notes. And be sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. But until next time, keep embracing your power and pleasure through Dom Subliving. Are you looking for a dating app for kink and fetish alternative lifestyles? Check out our sponsor, KinkD. That's K-I-N-K-D. KinkD is one of the most famous kink, BDSM, and fetish dating apps. They have been featured on HuffPost, Yahoo, Cosmopolitan, and more. KinkD allows you to find and meet local kinksters to fulfill your sexual fantasies. Go to kinkdapp.com to get your free membership. You can also find the app in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Again, that's kinkdapp.com. Join now and get access to the free bondage, BDSM, kink, and fetish dating community for singles, couples, and swingers. That's kinkdapp.com, spelled K-I-N-K-D.